I have asked the Lord this several times through the course of the years of waiting on the Lord and through the seasons of Mount Zion's destiny. I said, God, how long? When are you going to cause an explosion of harvests of people? Because what you're doing in our lives, what you're sharing here, there's too many people that are hungry and desperate for what you're doing here. And the Lord always reminds me that is always looking for disciples, not a large congregation. He raises disciples. And he says disciples are people who have gone through the process of following God to the point where their soul, their heart has been healed. And now they are able to answer the call to see other people healed and restored. You might not understand what I just said. I believe God will explain it through the word the Spirit of the Lord wants to share with us this morning, which is already, the Lord is already ahead demonstrating what he wants to do in our heart today. Amen. For you to receive what the Spirit of the Lord will do in my heart, your heart, I want you to see it as an appreciation. Is God saying, well done? Is God saying, thank you for allowing me bring you this far, for allowing me walk in your life this far? He's very pleased with you. And he wants to use you for his greater glory. Amen? So as you hear the word this morning, see it from that atmosphere. And you benefit deeper. Because God is pleased with you. It's not the multitude, it's the disciples. You can hear me well? Okay. Thank you, Lord. When I first came to Cleveland and I started seeking the face of the Lord, in the spirit atmosphere, God showed me a lot. But I didn't understand how wicked the spirit was. The spirit world was until I started seeing it physically. I met a woman, and because when the Lord called me, I was very desperate. The love of God was just pouring out. So we were doing different things, helping different families, but my heart was so, I've never seen anything like that, broken for single mothers and so many situations I was seeing happening. And I want you to pay close attention because God wants to do something in our hearts. So, I will be helping different single mothers. I will take their children, I'll go do stuff with them. I'll play with them, take them out. Some of them didn't have food. I would take them food. One particular area up in off Wildwood, Lay Street, was almost like my dwelling place. From one single mother to the other. Then I met a woman, and she had a young daughter. She didn't have a way to get to school. And I would take her to school, I would take Shana to school, take them groceries. And one day, the woman sent a message that I should not come to her house again. I was very devastated. I said, what did I do? What's wrong? And finally, to cut a long story short, I had access to her later through some people. And I said, what happened? She said she was terrified. She was so terrified that she didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. But one thing she knows for sure was that she knew she would not be able to meet my demands. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you don't understand. All my life growing up as a child, I was raised around a lot of men, a lot of uncles and nephews. He says, there was not one that did not abuse me. And everything I did growing up was always paying for something somebody did for me. And I have to pay for it in many ways. He says, so I've never experienced somebody doing something for me that I didn't have to pay for it in very, very wrong ways. And it just dawned on me, why are you allowing this man do this? Do you know what he's going to ask you to do for him? I wept. I said, what are you talking about? What have I done? This is normal. I said, no. That's one. There was a young boy. The parents heard that I was always working with young people there, looking out for them. He was adopted. And they brought the boy with me. His name is Lucas. Very young boy. Most of these boys are all big, big now. Some of them have children, families. I would take him to the park, go out to play. And the boy talked to me, says, why can't I see my mom? He says, my adopted parents are saying, I can't see my mom. I said, yeah, Lucas, God has provided a refuge for you. And when you are able, when it's time, God will make a way. Why would they not allow her? Why was he adopted? Why was he in the situation he was in? No matter the love that was poured on him, there was something in his heart. I must see my mom. The mom is a harlot in Florida. Lives on drugs. Can't even have our minds together. There's no way that boy can handle that. I have a friend, and a very good friend of mine. We pray together all the time. Keziah knows him very well. Some of my Zion family, you met him when he came to minister to us. Very humble man. This man is the chairman of a board. One of the largest, is the chairman of one of the largest foster care organizations in America. They have over 12,000 young people that don't have under the roof of their own house. Because the stories of the families they came out of is not something they could handle. Their lives have been so devastated. As some of them, it takes extra care to even get them to live in these homes. the cycle of the parents that release these kids were in jail. And these kids, some of them, they start growing up. Some of them, God turns their part and turns them around. But it's always the others that follow the generations of their parents, and they too create a cycle. I was, a few years ago, a long time, we are in the bus, we are about to go to somewhere, it was a field trip for the church or something. And we drove by the post office, because I'd forgotten what we needed to take. So I was walking right into the post office, I saw a very beautiful young girl. There was a time I used to witness to anything that moved. Whether it's a gas station, laundromat, Walmart. And it was one of those times I saw her by herself, very pretty. I went to her, I said, "What are you doing? Can we help you with anything?" People were waiting for me in the van. And I couldn't just walk away from the look I saw on her face. And I said, "Outwardly, I don't see anything wrong with you, but I'm just burdened by what I feel about your heart." And she put her head down, almost wanted to cry. And then I said, "Whatever it is, I want to pray with you." Say, "It doesn't matter. She doesn't know if I will help." I said, "Why do you think prayer can help? Prayer is God coming in." Say, "She doesn't think so." But I don't know what I said that captured her heart. And she said, "You know what? Just pray for me that whether God will have mercy or whatever." I said, "What are you doing for your job now?" Say, "She's a dancer in a nightclub." I said, "Dancer in a nightclub? She dances and goes nude for people. Pretty girl." I said, "Why?" He says, "I don't have any other way out." I grew up at a young age, and people would come to my mom and they would lock me up in the closet, and my mom was a harlot. I grew up seeing that, living in that, and lived in that growing up. I don't know any other life. I can tell you stories, why I made up my mind. This is the only thing I can do. Because of a brokenness that we don't see. So many stories. A friend of mine told me, "Michael, you need to see this movie." I said, "Okay." I didn't have the opportunity to see it. But as we're flying in the air, I opened and I saw this. I said, "Let me see why he wanted me to watch this movie." Because we pray with him on issues. And the movie was about kind of a memorial for Anita Franklin. And I watched it, I got the message. She was a young, very young girl, and her father was a pastor. At a very young age, amazing singer, amazing at a young age. One of the praise and worship leaders came while the father was hosting them in his house. And sneaked into her room, closed the door and raped her. It's a true story. They don't show the rest of it and other things that went on in the movie, but I know a little bit of her history. She was a legend in music, and the world knows that. But that single incident, because there was no foundation or reality of the knowledge of Christ, caused a young girl that was being raised up to go this way, turns around and went this way. If it's not for the mercy of God and prayers, the rest of her life was buried in the Marie Claire of Hollywood. She was on drugs. That was not in the movie, but I knew her a little bit. She could not. Every success, every wealth, every fame could not heal that mark without Christ. I said these stories because the gospel is this preaching. The reason you come here, the reason we're here, is not a religion. It's a brokenness in our society. Families are broken. I've counseled a lot of people coming to Lee and different people. We're not here to play games. We're here because I cried to the Lord several times when I faced issues. I said, can this ever happen to somebody? And God reminded me that spirits use flesh and blood to do damage to people's lives, and they can never forgive or ever overcome that situation. And the rest of their life, even in church, instead of walking this way in church, they are still walking this way, even though they are in church. Why? They've not been healed. Can tell you a lot of stories. Let me say this one more before we go into the word. Young girl. This was a pastor's kid. Successful pastor's kid. And I was ministering to her, going through some form of deliverance and healing. Years and years ago. And we got to a point, he says, Pastor, I think I can trust you. After several ways you've tested us, she said, I've never told anybody this. And the last person I would tell is my parents. They will kill me. He said, right in our church, I was abused by a church member. I could not tell my parents because they would not believe me. And even when I showed signs of it, I could feel they're going to blame me for it. And they're going to crucify me for it with scriptures. So I've kept it. And so now it looks like I'm losing my mind. And they can't understand why. Because even those days, I was working with the parents, but they did not know anything. And confidentiality is part of a healing process. So she told me a lot, and I prayed with her. I said, ever since then, that thing has disfigured my soul. I can hardly do anything because I don't know how to be healed from it. So I ministered to her, we prayed to her for her, and God helped her. And now she even did her PhD and stuff and moved on successfully. My brothers, the preaching of the gospel without the cross is vain. The reason the preaching of the gospel is a crossroad is because from the fall of man, every part that we are going leading this way, we are broken people. Unless pressure has not been put on you, you will not know what you're capable of doing. So the Bible says, the heart of man is very wicked and very deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We don't know who we are. But until pressure is put on our lives, we find out we can do anything. I cried out to God, working with, seeing these single mothers, and so many, just, you know the stories. And the Lord said, cry, weep not. Just like he told one of the elders in Revelation 5. Say, weep not, for the Lamb has overcome. So what does it mean, weep not? He says, I have overcome. And what does it mean to overcome? He says, there's no problem. There is no situation. There is no hurt. There is no brokenness. There is nothing Satan has done that I have not restored. I have not overcome. And now, I have made my life, I've made my spirit, I've made my promise, I've made myself available to heal. That is the gospel. So coming here to play religion will be judged. We're coming here by the obedience and response to the Holy Spirit to turn crisis to Christ, to turn the messes and the devastation of we've experienced to a message. So, having laid that background, what is it that the Lord wants me to share with you? I always have a lot of questions, but God always answers them. I want to read a scripture to you that brought so much question to me, and God answered them. If you don't mind, open your Bibles to Psalms 95. Why? 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 Psalms 95. I'll read really quickly from verse 6. Oh, come! Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Listen to this. Unto whom I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. There's so much to the scripture, but in relation to the background I just laid to you, I said, God, 40 years, 40 years was I grieved with this generation. These are the people that came out of Egypt, the church in the wilderness. And he says, it's a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. My brothers and sisters, before we go further, let me explain to you. They have not known my ways. 40 years. I share with you when I started that I never understood the seriousness of dealing with things in the spirit until I saw the repercussions in the physical realm. What human beings possessed by devils can do to people, especially vulnerable people. I did a deliverance for a lady that was into witchcraft. The stories I heard and the things she said, it's not possible for human beings to do it, but human beings did them because they were possessed. These wicked spirits, these wicked, wicked things you don't see with your eyes, they take over people one way or the other, and people do things in secret that even your minds cannot accept. And then you see people living. They can be CEOs, they can be president, they can be this, but their lives are totally in bondage. The reason why we are making laws to sustain bondage is because there is no hope. From the rich to the poor, they cannot overcome the bondage. So let's make laws to make everybody feel okay to live in bondage and not be condemned. The spirits afflict man because of sin. To paint the picture for you the way you can understand based on this story is this. God had a people called the children of Israel. God had a plan for them. They are God's people. And God gave a picture of what he wants them to be like in the world. And it started with Joseph. He made them rulers. He gave them the best choice of the land. He gave them influence in Egypt. And they lived in a place called Goshen, the best of the world. But it got into their heart. They got exalted, prideful. You see it in scriptures. And another king came, Pharaoh. And then started to enslave them. Please listen. Because if you're free, maybe your wife needs to know. Your husband needs to know why you are the way you are sometimes. Your children needs to know. We need answers so that we can love and forgive the way we should. We are broken people. We need Jesus. They were in this Egypt, good people, everything was okay, until Pharaoh came. Pharaoh is a type of in the spirit. And Pharaoh raised up what they call tax masters. And they plotted and they took good people that were supposed to make a difference in the society. And the Bible says they now created what the Bible calls a house of bondage. What was the house of bondage? He said they afflicted them day and night. They beat them, they made them do hard work without resources. They enslaved them, they beat them until their mind was completely changed and they lost who they used to be in the days of Joseph. Now, they've been so beaten over many years and their fathers grow out of that and their another generation grows. And after cycles of a generation, their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions have been so abused that they now believe that that's who they are. Slaves. What is a slave? What is bondage? A slave or bondage is somebody who has completely made up their mind. I was born into this. That's who I am. That's who I'll be the rest of my life. Bondage. So the children of Israel were in this captivity, this situation for 400 years of generations. So finally, God already knew the plan. God already made a redemption. God already provided deliverance for them. So when the time came, God sent Moses. And Moses came, confronted Pharaoh, dealt with the spiritual realm, confronted Pharaoh, and said, you must let these people go. And God did a lot of miracles, and then God brought them out. God brought them out of Egypt. God gave them money. Just like some of us have money today, but we don't have peace. We can't control the things here that we do in secret, even when we have money. Bondage, tears, cries. God gave them money. God gave them physical freedom. They were free from Pharaoh. God gave them everything. God healed them physically. But there was only one thing they had to deal with. The internal abuse. The soulish realm. The story I read to you said, 40 years long, I was grieved with this generation and said, it's a people that do err in their heart. Remember, the heart is very deceitful. And they have not known my ways. They knew the hands of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. And God said they cannot find rest to their soul because they will keep struggling because they are not walking in the ways of God. So why is it that? Why would that happen? Let me read this and I'll describe it to you before we pray. I want you to see, open to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Deuteronomy chapter 8. For time, just if you can open to that quickly, let's read from verse 2. Listen to what God said, Deuteronomy 8, 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. These 40 years in the wilderness. Listen to this. The way God led them, this is what God wants, the results God wants from them. To humble thee and to test thee to know what was in thy heart. Whether thou would keep the word or the ways of the Lord or not. Verse 3, and God, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and to be fed with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Then he talked about their remains and talked about all the things God did. But no, verse 2, he says, God took you through this way 40 years to humble thee and to test you to know whether, to know what is in your heart, whether you follow the ways of God or not. My brothers and my sisters, they came out of Egypt. God says, I'm going to cause you to walk this narrow way for a reason. But God said, for 40 years, he brought them out of Egypt. But for 40 years, God is wanting to take them this way. But right then, the wilderness, they were still going this way. If you read the whole of that Hebrews, Deuteronomy 8, it says, in their heart, they were going back to Egypt. That's for time. Say in their heart they were going back to it. What is happening? Why are people in church? Why are people, why is the church the condition we are? So they came out of Egypt. They came to God. And God says, I'm going to take you through this way. I'm going to test you so that I can show you your heart and so I can heal your heart. And I'm bringing you out of this place. And I'm bringing you to a place where you rest. You will have food. You have houses you didn't build. It's a land of milk and honey. I have plans for you. I will make you my, I will light you up. I'll be your God. I'll be everything to you. I'll fight your enemies. I will make the world envy you. I have a place for you here. But for you to get here, I need to take you through this way. It's a narrow way. It's a cross. But he said, for 40 years, they refused to follow God's way. They grieved God. They tempted him 40 years. And God says, they can't make it there. Even though they were in the church in the wilderness. So what does that mean? Why is God congratulating you and telling you, you've been faithful, you've been consistent, you're moving in the right way? It's encouraging to stay the course you are on now. Why? Because what was done to them in Egypt was the devil used Pharaoh and his taskmasters. You are seeing my physical body. You can make it look anyway, but you're not seeing my soul. You're not seeing my mind. You can't feel my emotions when I'm praying. But if you really want to find out, let pressure come. Maybe I don't have money to pay my... Maybe somebody cursed me. Maybe somebody slapped me. Maybe somebody speak wrong words to me. Maybe somebody just remind me of what I came. Bad, bad stuff. And see what will come out of me. That wound on the inside, Jesus called it to heal the broken heart. To set the captives free. That wound on the inside has kept us in bondage. Has kept us captives. What is a captive? What is in bondage? God is saying, let's go this way. Let's do this way. They keep telling God, no, I have to go back to Egypt. I have to do this way. Why? Because anybody that abused you have made you their owner. You are still a captive. You want to go back to them. That's why some people come out of abuse. They go back to an abusive husband worse than the one they came out of. If they are not healed. You come out of this situation. If you're not feeling healed, you go to somebody that will take it to the next level. I prayed for, worked with different people that went from one abusive husband to the worst abusive husband. And even to the third one. Why? The healing is not complete. And so they are always gravitating. It's like a magnet to that bondage, to that thing, to that alcohol, to that thing, because they are so used to the abuse, so used to the bondage, it has become a crutch, a safe place. That's all they knew, like that girl. That's the only language she understands, is to stay in a harlotry. She doesn't know what love is. She doesn't know what church is. She doesn't care whether God is. Her cycle of life is all she knows, and she's now comfortable there. She's safe. So why don't people, yes, they were going around the same problem. Round the same mountain. They didn't want to deal with it. They didn't want to give it up. They didn't want to be healed. The man that was holding the crutch told Jesus, he says, I have no man to help me. Always giving excuse for what the cross, what Jesus have come to do. They were going around the same mountain. What is the mountain? Whatever happened to them in Egypt, they don't want to lay down to take what God wants to take them to do through the wilderness. For 40 years, they were fighting healing, fighting deliverance. How? They complained against God. Why must this happen to me? Why did that happen? Why did this? Why bondage? Why? The moment they complained, the moment God said all them, and God is saying, that's the reason why I brought you out. That's the reason why I want to heal you. That's the reason why I have a provision here. But I have to circumcised. I have to do some surgery. I have to do some work here. If you just allow me, go this way by faith. Follow what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I want to take self out. I want to take the root of everything that is, that where you, all the, I want to hit it from the root. Take it out so that when you come here, you're free. For who the Son sets free is free. But instead, they will go around the mountain once. They will listen to God and say, okay, all right, give us this. God will bless their hands. They will get excited. Pressure hits them again. They go back to the same cycle. The same complaint, the same thing, the same accusation against the same people, against the same things. And God says, okay, I'll bless you. I'll do this. I'll do that. God does it, gives them what I do. They say, okay, God, thank you. You've done great. Then another situation puts pressure. They go to the mountain again and go to the mountain again and go to the mountain again. And Jesus says, that's why I'm here. I have put on everything that could have ever happened to you. I have put on every accusation of the enemy. I have taken your pain even to the point of death. Even when I'm not guilty, I have taken every abuse. I was beaten by my own creation. I was slapped. I was whipped. I went through everything. I said, Satan, put it on me. Do your best. And even to the point, I'll die for what? The price. I paid the price. And I did it so that you can have my freedom, my healing, my life, my wealth. Not only that, you become the son of my own father. This is what I have for you. And it will bring rest to your soul. To bring freedom. And you now be able to live your life the way God has intended for it. Don't worry about the spirits that use people. Don't be looking at the people. Flesh and blood has not done this to you. Human beings don't have the capacity. These are wicked spirits that have taken hold of man. The lust that is in us, the pride that is in us, and weaponized man to do damage to us. He said, listen, just look at the cross. I allow them to do that to me in your place. And if you will receive that, I will give you my life. I will give you my healing. Because I've taken your abuse, taken your hurt. I've been wounded. I've been wounded for you. I have been bruised. I have been hurt. I've taken every. If you believe me and just we exchange, you will know that's the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross is an exchange. It's to give me what you have gone through and to take what I have provided for you. That's where healing begins. My brothers and sisters, if we don't get and receive healing, we're going to stay in church, playing church for 40 years and never help people at our workplaces, never help people in school, never help people. You live in hurt and you cannot see people in your workplace that just needs you to tell them, you know, I can feel this, I can see this, I can pray for you, you know. We are the testimony of Jesus in where we walk. Our boss might be a drunkard. They might own all the money. They might be this or this or this, struggling with pornography, struggling, drinking, never resting, because the God of this world, money makes them feel that's all you need. But peace they don't have. But because we don't understand and we've not fully been healed, we cannot see in our environment the need to bring healing to other people. So that's why God says, I'm making disciples. I'm bringing healing. Because only healing people see their neighbors are broken. Even though they are wearing suit, their neighbors are broken. Another thing is, the most dangerous place that Satan has provided that people will not be healed is religion. Some of them we call it church. The last place people come to be healed is church. Why? Church is the place we hide our wound more than any other place. And that's where God wants to meet us. Can't you see how the enemy is deceiving us? How could you go to the hospital? I went to do a checkup, my physical, to make sure I'm taking care of the physical, good steward of my body. I just was embarrassed. The doctor telling me to do sanitation. I said, what? I'm not going back. Anyway, I still humbled myself. But why? The person is trained to do something that you need. Humility opens the door. And we come to church, is a place pride is more. Why? Because church people, like the prophecy came, we like to condemn rather than showing mercy. Somebody comes out that is broken, that needs help for us to minister, we start accusing that person. We start looking at that person in a funny way. And everybody now hides from the cross. And we go 40 years inside church and not free. Doing things our way, wise in our own eyes. And God says, you can't find rest and you cannot fulfill the plan of God because you are broken. So this morning, I don't want this to ever be our situation. That's why we're in Zion. That you will be in this meeting, you will come to church for 40 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you don't have an answer. And put that answer, put that situation behind you. I thank God for so many that have, their life is now becoming a healing to others. So what the devil meant for evil to Joseph, to my life, to, I'm preaching here. I went through stuff and received perfect healing. I know what it is to have a new identity that has nothing to do with the past. That's why we are born again. To be new people and to enjoy the fruit of this new life. Peace, joy, this, that, even in the midst of pressure. That's what God has provided. Marriages are struggling. Children, parents are struggling. In church, it should not be like that for years and years and years. So this morning, thank you for your faithfulness. I've never met people so faithful like my Zion people. But I'm asking by the Holy Spirit who gave me this word. It is time, Moses told them, to move forward. We've been around this mountain long enough. It's time to move forward. Some of you have moved forward. All of us have moved forward. Many of us have moved forward. But if you're still going through that mountain, the Lord spoke to you this morning. I said, God, what will it take? He says, just preach my word. See, when you preach my word by the Spirit, it is me, and my word is like a sword. It's like a two-edged sword. It discerns the heart and the soul. What he's saying is, he's doing surgery to the heart and the soul. And he's taking away those things that troubles your soul. And he's telling you, I am your healer. I am your comfort. I have forgiven you. Forgive. I've released you. Release. Come out of that bondage. Come out of that stronghold and follow this path. And let's find rest for your soul. And make a difference. You can't be walking the rest of your life and you don't become helped to the world around you. And you come to church every Sunday. The whole purpose is to be the best wife, the best husband, the best children, because you have a changed life. And then become somebody that somebody at work will say, you comforted me. You spoke something. You prayed for me. You did this. That's why God gave you that job. It's not for money. Somebody needs you at your work. The church is like a hospital. Jesus says, I didn't come for those that are well. I came for those who can acknowledge their need for healing, for the sick. So this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know what. The church is not a democracy. The church is under the lordship of Jesus. I don't know who is your master, whether your situation is making you do things your way, whether you've been so hurt that everything has to be your way, in your marriage, in your home, it has to be your way. Everything is right in your eyes. This morning, give God a chance. Maybe you can say, let's do it God's way. If something has to be your way all the time, you're a broken person. There has to be a need for you to submit to one another in love. I can't be right all the time. Actually, she's more right than I am. And I'm learning to listen to my wife. If I'm right all the time, I have a problem. But I don't know it. This is real life, brothers, sisters. Our children can't live under a roof and be wounded forever. Our husband can't live and we don't be a support forever. We need healing. That's the gospel. So this morning, wherever you are, ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, to help you release, to help you walk away from this mountain. You've been walking around so long. Receive what God has done and let the past say, you know what? I choose to embrace what you did for me, Jesus. And whatever has happened to me, I put it back on that cross. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your healing. For they know not what they do. I want to move forward, Jesus. I don't want to live in this thing forever. I want to walk in that promise. I want to make people's life mean something. Whether they are foster children, whether they are CEOs, whatever they have, I want to be vessels you can use to intercept the heart. But if I don't know how to receive, how can I give? So my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is asking every one of us to move on by receiving freedom. Allow the Lord receive forgiveness, receive that comfort, receive that love. God is pleased with you. God is pleased with you. The Lord told me not too long ago, he says, stop condemning the world. They are sinners already. They don't even know what I did for them. Until you offer them what I did for them, they are condemned already. Give them mercy. Give them what I have. And they will choose that. Because they are already condemned. Daisy, if you want to play on that keyboard softly, I want you to take a minute. I have been around people that were in their 80-something, 90-something years old and still carrying wounds. Please allow God move you from that mountain. Because Jesus has come to break the yoke. You're going back. Amen.
Amen.
So as Daisy plays on the keyboard, you can kneel where you are. You can come to the front. Wherever you are, Jesus is right there with you. But don't let this moment, if the Lord spoke to you, he says, if you hear his voice, not my voice, don't let your heart be hardened. That hardness of heart is why we're still going through that pain. Receive. Receive the love of God. Receive Jesus, what is done. Receive him. He took the pain. He took the bruises. Took the abuses. Because flesh and blood don't have the capacity to do such evil. Devils in the flesh. Forgive man. And forgive once and for all. Receive Jesus. Your lover, your healer. Receive. Some is misunderstanding, miscommunication. But move on. Be free. Be free today. Move on with Jesus. Receive this narrow way. Receive a father that, a friend, a kiss. Receive the love that never runs dry. The love that forgives and never condemns you. The love that will correct you in love. The love that will rebuke you in love. Just for your good, not for our selfishness. Receive the unconditional love that changes everything. It's true because he gave it to us from his blood. It's true. He died for it. Receive it this morning. Receive it. Receive it. If you don't receive it, you can give it to somebody else. So receive it. In the name of Jesus. Be made whole. I speak wholeness to your heart. I speak freedom. I proclaim healing to your minds. I call comfort back to your heart. I release the unconditional love of God. Freedom. 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 You are free. I say you are free by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus, receive Jesus. Receive his love. Receive his unconditional love. And release that lie that was sown to your soul and your mind. Release is a lie. Jesus has come to heal, to heal, to restore, and to give you back the life that means everything else. Receive it and be made whole. Receive. Receive. The Holy Spirit is here. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with my loving kindness. I have loved with an everlasting love. I have loved with my loving kindness. Who condemns you? Who is it that saved you? There is no condemnation. Receive forgiveness, freedom, and go and be free. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with my loving kindness. I have loved with an everlasting love. I have drawn with my love and kindness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Freedom. Freedom.